Leland Scott Davis is a graduate of Bowling Green State University and a percussionist who has played with many successful jazz and rock bands. Last spring, Leland Scott Davis recorded a tape of music for solo drum kit that displays his virtuosic technique and intense compositional structure. Under the title America's Urban Bush, this tape presents a philosophical description of the artist's situation in American society and offers a gleam of hope for tomorrow's artists. Tonight on New Musical Frontiers, we'll hear a conversation with Leland Scott Davis and offer an opportunity to hear music from America's Urban Bush.
What the Urban Bush is some sort of reaction, but it is sort of, it's a reaction against a lot of the typical jive music, so to speak, that you hear on commercial radio, stuff you hear in clubs. And so a lot of things were building up in my mind, some things I wanted to do. And so after I was finished, what happened at these sessions was what I came to call the Urban Bush, as far as these tunes that I wrote.
That was Funky Waitress by Leland Scott Davis.
Well, what Funky Waitress is, again, it's just something that came to my mind. It wasn't an actual experience, but it's a good point of what the Urban Bush is. Bars, and things, you know, bars is like sort of out of the mainstream, although there's bars everywhere, you know, in clubs, but bars in college towns or bars anywhere, really. So you have this waitress, Funky Waitress, and it's just a story about a Midwestern girl, and it could be a girl anywhere in a city, and, you know, she's working in this club, and you know, she's just tired of, get orders from people for drinks or whatever, and, you know, she's good looking, and you hear, she can hear guys, you know, behind her back, you know, just sort of saying things, rude things about her, how people can sometimes get in a bar after they've been drinking, having a good time. But, you know, she hears this stuff, and she's tired of being around, you know, some obnoxious people, and tired, you know, minimum wage, and just, you know, she's been working there for a while. And it's just an atmosphere that she's not really into, and, you know, you get all sorts of different people in there, and it gets very frustrating. But, you know, a guy comes in, orders a drink, and then, you know, and then a couple people, a couple scenes happen in this tune, and then one guy who had been in earlier leaves, and, you know, he doesn't leave a tip for, you know, which is, you know, typical. And so she, you know, that just, a couple other things happen in the tune, and she's all fed up. And she's, in each little episode of each little thing that happens, she verbally says, you know, out loud to these people, you know, something derogatory, out loud. And she's saying it because she, you know, she's decided that this is the last time she's working, and she's just gonna tell the people what she really thinks about them. And, so when she notices that this trucker man, he doesn't leave her a tip, she just says, you know, what's the last line about the trucker man? You know, the least you could do, funky waitress, you know, I paid my due, man, give me a ride out of here. You know, take me out of this place, trucker. You know, take me out of this club. I mean, I'm tired of working here. You know, she's tired of that. And, you know, that's sort of an urban bush. That's kind of a, you know, a bush sort of scene. Yeah, oil slick. Well, yeah, oil slick and funky waitress. I have to admit that these two tunes came about because of the vocal. I mean, the poetry was first. And, I mean, I wouldn't even had. I mean, how could you even do a tune like that without, you know, the vocals? So the vocals were, you know, they were first. And then the reason why the other tunes, the instrumental tunes, you know, because instrumentally they say what they have to say. But yeah, it was definitely the poetry was definitely the first thing. And Oil Slick Betty was just another one of those. It was just another thing that came into my head. It was just a little story that came to me. And you know, about this, just about an oil slick, kind of like a, you know, maybe you might think of 1930s or 40s or something, kind of down south, you know, hillbilly maybe kind of thing. And, I mean, it mentions the Civil War in there, sort of, even that kind of settings, which would be earlier, but, you know, it kind of brings several things to mind, I think, and, but I think, you know, I think that speaks for itself, the story, but...
Lose the
The urban bush is sort of like a, to me, the urban bush is a lot of places like jazz clubs, even certain aspects of universities to an extent, create where it's where creative people are able to get their ideas out, and not, you know, not be swayed one way or another by some kind of preconceived notions of any sort by other people. They can, you know, just be free to do what they want, and it seems in society there's not a lot of places where that happens. Occasional, you know, maybe a jazz club, maybe certain art galleries do certain kinds of things like that, and there's certain maybe parts of different neighborhoods, you know, maybe different neighborhoods and cities where people get together and you know, open-minded people get together and they can do stuff that they otherwise don't have a chance to do. These, you know, and like these places where this stuff happens, you know, is what I seem to call the urban bush. And there's some people that have recordings out like this. Stuff, you know, like I've always thought Ornette Coleman is like that. James Blood Ulmer, you know, Ronald Shannon. There's a lot of mainstream jazz musicians that do stuff like that. You know, they're able to do what they want. And then, well, there's a lot of other people, you know, a lot of avant-garde musicians, like, so to speak, like the downtown, what's known now as the downtown scene in New York City.
Why'd you call the tape the Urban Bush? America's Urban Bush.
America's Urban Bush is because, you know, to me, you know, it's just saying, you know, from me that I think there is that kind of creative, there is that kind of stuff happening, and this was just my, you know, my little part of the urban bush, you know. A lot, you know, the urban bush is called the urban bush. You think jungle or something, bush. But of course, urban, you know. It's like all this stuff is happening, you know, in cities and populated places. You know, some very out of the mainstream type stuff happening within the mainstream, around the mainstream.
There's two tunes on there called Urban Bush 1 and Urban Bush 2. Why are the tunes called Urban Bushes?
Now those particular tunes are, for this particular tape, they are, those are the tunes that are without a doubt, you know, about what I'm talking about. Those tunes are without a doubt, they would be the hardest pieces, you know, for someone who's not been exposed, or which is a lot of people who haven't been exposed to having to, you know, think when they listen. A lot of people will listen to the music to, like, maybe fall asleep or just to do some other kind of work by, like, you know, and there's labels putting out music now that, you know, it's very sedate music, and putting out music and it's just not exciting. It doesn't stimulate me at all, which is why I like music. I like to be stimulated by it, and you know, mentally, and, you know, think creatively, just to be able to think about things like just the colors and different textures, colors, just, you know, the ideas people have, and the urban, but those tunes are like the core of what I'm talking about, and like I said, they're hard to listen to. Some of the other ones are a little more accessible, so to speak. One, because they have vocals. But what happens is, what I do is I improvise a theme on both of those urban bush compositions, I improvise a theme at the very beginning of when I'm playing. And then what I do is take what I'm playing and I elaborate upon, you know, the rhythmic type of motive that I'm playing with the different highs and lows that I can get out of the instrument. I'm elaborating upon that. And then, but I always, in those two tunes, bring it back to that first statement, you know, that I improvised. It's like, and if you listen to it, it's like something that could be written out. You can, it's a, you know, it's, but it's an improvised composition. It's a lot of that is, to me, it's influenced by Sonny Rollins, Ornette Coleman. I've always sort of seen them as, they improvised in that sort of way. I've never really heard anything like that. I could be wrong, but, you know, to improvise, you know, something like that and have a thought out composition, just improvise, you know, something that actually could have been worked out beforehand. We'll be right back.
Urban Bush 1 by Leland Scott Davis. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Leland Scott Davis right after this. Urban Bush 2 by Leland Scott Davis. At only 3 seconds long, the shortest tune on America's Urban Bush is Singe.
I know a lot of people, you know, live in apartments with gas stoves, and anybody who lives in a place with gas stove, if you go home drunk or something when you're not paying attention and try to light that thing, and you turn the heat up, you turn that gas up too high, you're in for a surprise. So, the first time it happened, I had just gotten out of the shower, and I'm standing there in my, you know, in my underwear, early in the morning, standing there in my underwear, go to heat up something in the oven, and I turned the gas up all the way before I lit it. I'm not paying attention. I hadn't had any coffee yet. Turned it up all the way, stuck that match down there. And the next thing, there was this gigantic flame just engulfing the whole stove and like 3 feet out of it. And you hear this whoosh. And all, you know, all my arm hairs are singed, and I look in the mirror and my hair is sticking up in the front. And I, you know, and this all happens in like about the length of this tune, like 3 or 4 seconds. So I just thought about doing a tune called Singe.
One of the compositions on America's Urban Bush is titled and dedicated to the trumpeter Don Cherry.
The title, that was just spontaneous. I didn't really have a title for it, but the tune I actually did have worked out. I had, the drums were tuned, and it's kind of like a, just a vocal sort of, I don't know, you'd call it a meditative sort of thing, and it's just another, texture. It's just another avenue, you know, to go for on the instrument, and so it's that rhythmic pattern, you know, that I get going and just try to get, say as much as you can with that one thing. And and Don Cherry, I guess that he just sort of came to mind to me. I just like a lot of the stuff he does. Don's been influential to many people. Great musician, great. He's a great conceptualizer. A lot of people may not be, you know, I mean, artists, period. A lot of them aren't the most technical. I mean, but a lot of the best are just because they're very intense conceptualizers about things. That means more, says more to me. Thank you. Yeah, the solo thing is just, it's just interacting with myself, with my ideas about the, you know, these certain tunes, these, you know, each tune's got its own idea, it's got a definite idea about what it's about, and some that has a vocal, you know, building it and saying what you gotta say and getting it out, and not going, just saying what you gotta say, man. You know, that's what it's about. I don't think I really think it's innovative or anything. You know, there's a lot of, there's people who, I mean, how many people, you know, out of the, whatever, the folk era maybe, of the 60s or something, how many people have done albums like acoustic guitar and just singing? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of people have done that, and what they were singing. But then again, you know, what I'm doing, this is a lot different. This, you don't have, you know, typical harmony. The harmony that is present with, you know, instruments like a guitar or whatever, piano, you don't have that. And so what happens is you're making a form out of something that's completely free, something that's, you're making a form and trying to make, what happens is, like, I'm making harmony exist in these tunes with the forms that's happening with the tunes, and the way I'm playing the drums, I'm creating a structure and actually harmonies and melodies out of the drums. You know, I'm doing it, I think. I think you have to think a certain way to be able to do that. I know that I personally used to listen to Sonny Rollins' phrasing a lot, and I would try to play like that on the drums. I would be practicing, and I mean, I wouldn't really be playing any cymbals. I would just be playing the drums, and I would try to phrase like he did, you know, on some of those 50s and, you know, recordings from the 50s and stuff. I'd try to play like he phrased, and I would try to correspond the highs and lows of the drums with where he was going melodically, and, you know, where the tune was going harmonically. I would practice like that, and then a lot of times I would always, you know, improvising, you know, like that, or I would have a tune going through my head and I would just try to improvise along and try to get the highs and lows to correspond with where things are going, and it was sort of to a point where it just happens, you know. And as far as how innovative it is, I don't know. I guess we'll just wait and see if some critic sees fit that it's innovative. I don't know.
America's Urban Bush ends with a piece entitled The Other Utter.
This came about in a laundromat, of all places. I believe it was a Sunday. Could have been a Monday afternoon before a gig I had, and sitting there waiting for my laundry to dry, and all of a sudden, you know, I just had, I don't know what it was. I grabbed for a piece of paper, and it, you know, the words just came out right there. It wasn't even a thing I had any time to think about what it was. I didn't even have time to think about what it meant or anything. It was just there. And I just kept that because I knew that I would use it at the next session. And the thing that I didn't know was what kind of music I was gonna, how I was gonna accompany those vocals. I had no idea. I didn't know if I should, you know, for one of the tunes, overdub some things. I didn't know how to approach the musical end of it. It's very difficult. Words never changed from once I wrote them down in there. Those are the words. And went into the studio, and I think it was the first take or second, maybe.
It was real close.
Something like that. And I still, at that time, hadn't decided how I was going to play it, so I just improvised. And it's sort of free and sort of got some groove going on in it both. And again, what happened was the vocal, what I ended up doing, I guess you could say dramatically, to the vocal just dictated what I ended up playing. And again, the words. It can mean whatever you want, really.
The other utterer profusely projected from the other bargain bin. Sharp cheddar, the other utterer in the bargain bin.
The Other Utter, from America's Urban Bush, by Leland Scott Davis. New Musical Frontiers is produced by Christopher Comer. Tune in next week for the cutting edge of new music in America. New Musical Frontiers.